You see from your bulletin that the gospel lesson this morning comes from the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel, verses 24 through 37. This is a lectionary reading. This is the selected reading for this first Sunday of Advent, first Sunday of the year, and it may seem strange to you. It's an apocalyptic passage. And in fact, chapter 13 of Mark's gospel is called the Little Apocalypse. But even as I read these words, it may sound a bit off-putting. Just think through what they might be sharing with you today, this particular point on your faith journey. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands a doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I just want to repeat the last sentence of that scripture lesson for your consideration. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Okay, all right. Okay, it's a little early. Okay. All right. The hope candle. The hope candle. Just a few moments ago, we lit the hope candle. Again. Every single year, we light the hope candle to inaugurate the season of Advent. The hope candle. So let me ask you this. For what are we hoping this year? Have you given it any consideration? For what do you hope in your life? It's a new year. We got the whole year opening before us. For what do you hope? In the 6th century BC, the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words. He said, "The days are surely coming." Friends, can you feel that? Can you feel it? Can you feel the change that is all around us? A change indicated by a change of landscape all over the area. The lights, the garland, the nativity scenes, the giant snow person across the street. Have you seen that? It's beautiful. I don't know. It's probably not up in daytime. Is it deflated? It's up? All right. Good, 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 good. Anyway, today is the first Sunday of Advent. The days are surely coming. The days are Adventus for Advent. It's coming. 3 weeks from tomorrow is Christmas Day. I know. 3 weeks. So Christmas is coming. So for what are you hoping? What are you hoping this year? More of the same? Another year like this past year? I hope not. I hope not. I ask you this every single year, but let me ask you again today. Did you know that Christmas is a religious holiday? Did you know that? Yes, Chad, it is. It is a religious holiday. In fact, it's one of the holiest days of the Christian year. It hadn't always been that way. Only prior to the last, 800 years or so. I haven't been that long since it's really become central to who we are. But you may have known that. I'm sure you knew that. But did you know the whole season is a sacred season? A holy season, the season of Advent. It is. It's during this season that we, and this is key, consciously and intentionally prepare our lives to encounter the grace of God. We talk about the grace of God all the time. The unmerited love of God that surrounds us despite ourselves. Right? Well, during this season, we consciously and intentionally prepare ourselves to encounter that. To encounter that. And we believe this grace was made for us made most fully known in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the one called the Christ, the anointed one, as in Christ Mass, Christmas. How are you going to do it? How are you going to prepare for Christmas this year? Same old? Do like you did last year? Pull the same decorations from the same spot, put them in the exact same locations? Probably. Okay, I have a little exercise for you to do when you get home today. What I want you to do when you get home, I want you to go through the headlines. The headlines of local, state, and national news. As far as I want you to go, just local, state, and national news. And, you know, get out the newspaper, flip through it. We used to have these things called news. Okay, we're not going to. Anyway, get online, go through the headlines. And I want you to make note of the stories that jump out to you. Why do they jump out at you? Make a note of those. And then as you're trying to digest these stories, contemplate the following statement. And this is a statement made by Michael Frost and Alan Hirsch. They're two pastors, and they've written a couple things at least. But let me just read a quote from them. Now remember, you're thinking about the news, and you hear these words. Observers should be able to encounter Jesus in and through the life and community of his followers. People observing us ought to be able to discern the elements of Jesus' way in our ways. If they cannot find authentic signals of the historical Jesus through the life of his people, then as far as we are concerned, they have the full right to question our legitimacy. Wow. I tell you, I did this little exercise, and it was disturbing. Very, very disturbing. Of course, the headlines that always grab my attention tend to be the worst headlines. You know, they tend to be the most troubling headlines. And I kept thinking, what a mess! What a mess we are in! Today we lit the hope candle. We lit the hope candle. For what are we hopeful? For what are you hopeful this year? The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. You know, in the prologue to his gospel, John writes these mysterious words. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word became flesh and lived. The language is marvelous. You know, we talk about the Greek word logos. That means word, but it means more. It means mind. It means reason. You know, do you remember how John begins the gospel? The first, it's really only two words, but three words in English. How does it begin? I'm afraid of that. In the beginning. Very good. In the beginning. Now, does that sound familiar to you? I want you to think back. I want you to think way back to the very first book of the Bible. Anybody know what the first book of the Bible is? Yes, Henry. Thank you. How does that book begin? In the beginning. Very, very good. Now jump back to John. In the beginning was the Word. Back to Genesis. In this magnificent creation epic in Genesis 1:1 through 2:4a, how does God create everything? God does what? Speaks. And what does God speak? Words. Exactly. Exactly. Now back to John. John suggests to his readers that the same word, the same mind, the same creative source that called and continues to call life out of lifelessness was enfleshed, was made real, was made tangible in the one called Jesus. In other words, when folks encountered Jesus of Nazareth, they felt themselves to be in the presence of that which grounded their lives, you know, and held their lives together, that offered them a sense of hope for their lives. So for what are you hoping this Advent? Same old? 2 weeks ago when we met, Thanksgiving was on us. We were all excited talking about all these things. And last week it was in the rearview mirror. It was gone. It was gone, right? Today it's full steam on to Christmas. 3 weeks! So what are we going to do? What are we going to do this year to prepare for Christmas? You know, what are we going to do with Advent? With a season of hope? You know, as I did my little headline exercise, I noticed that my disappointment and my contempt and my self-righteousness was aimed beyond the end of my wagging finger all the time. But then slowly, as I sat and I pondered things a bit more deeply, the finger started to turn around and point right at myself. I just pointed right there at myself. And I started to get a little bit antsy thinking through all of this. And then I began to think about all the decorations that adorn our house and our yard at this time of year. And suddenly I realized that that's a giveaway. That's a giveaway. Folks are going to see our decorations, and they're going to make assumptions about that. They're going to say to themselves, the folks who live in that house are followers of the one called Jesus. So if we want to know about Jesus, we just watch those folks. We listen to what they say and how they lead their life. Wow. And then I realized I'm going to be in trouble. I never should have put those decorations up. Alana never should have put those decorations up. Okay. Observers should be able to encounter Jesus in and through the life and community of his followers. People observing us ought to be able to discern the elements of Jesus' way in our ways. If they cannot find authentic signals of the historical Jesus through the life of his people, then as far as we're concerned, they have the full right to question our legitimacy. That hurts. That hurts. Well, you remember what Thomas Merton writes, right? In his Seasons of Celebration about Advent? Okay, I was afraid of that. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. One of my favorite quotes. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. In other words, Advent is a season during which we live in such a way that God is made real in and through our lives. You know, enfleshed in us, incarnated. And that makes perfect sense because Advent is a season of spiritual practice that ultimately ends with Emmanuel. God is with us. Huh. That's profound stuff. That's life-altering. Advent is a season of active participation. Okay. Again, this year my Advent challenge is this. And it's aimed right at me. I need to stop kidding myself that the birth of Jesus justifies my current holiday practices. You know, I can call our late November through mid-December practice anything I want to, okay? But maybe I shouldn't call it Advent and Christmas. You know, I can call it something else. I can give it a day. I can give it a whole season if I want to. I can wrap up all the stuff. I can go into debt as far as I want to. No problem. But I feel like maybe I shouldn't practice and then read Luke chapter 2 or Matthew 2 as I'm doing it. Just doesn't feel right. Oh, did you see the Washington-Oregon game on Friday? Anybody see that? I hope you didn't miss it because it's probably the final Pac-12 game in history, right? But anyway, I was watching that game, and I flipped to it time and time, and I was stunned once again by the intensity of sporting events. Did you know they're intense? And I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the fans. So intense. You know, these people are just crammed into the stadium. I know they exceeded the occupancy. They're breaking all sorts of fire code sort of stuff. You know, it was like a Billy Graham crusade. Okay. Anybody remember Billy Graham? Okay, a couple of you do. Okay. The place was packed. It was literally packed. And they're singing and they're cheering and they're waving their arms and the music is thumping and the camera pans the crowd and you can see it in their faces, you know. They were transfixed by the experience. They couldn't get enough of it, I can tell you that. Some of them were even crying. That was mainly at the end. But anyway, their arms were extended kind of in this acclamation, and they were moving in unison. The intensity was incredible, and you didn't have to watch long to understand that these folks weren't there just to watch. No way. They were there to participate in that game, because maybe, and you can see it in their eyes, maybe, just maybe, this experience was going to change their life. It was going to change their life for the better, just being there. And they knew that this experience was going to be transformative. Now, I don't know exactly what to make of it. I never know what to make of this. It was amazing. I kept wondering to myself, how does this work? How does this work? How is such devotion engendered? I don't know. I've been there, and I don't know. So in light of this, I have a very basic question for your consideration this morning. Well, first of all, Have you ever been asked by someone, do you observe Christmas? Does your family observe Christmas? And that's telling. You know, these folks were not just observing this game. They were participating in it. So the question is this, are we just observing Christmas? Are we just observing Advent? Or are we participating? And I ask this, it's very important because just observing something is rarely life-changing. But participating in something frequently is. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea. And he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and they went. They followed. Okay. I want to get back to something, and we're going to talk about it, not this service, but next week at the 9:45 service. We're thinking Todd in this service. Do you remember something we did years ago called Advent Conspiracy? Probably most of you know. I think it's been like 15 years maybe. Anyway, these folks, there's four clergy folks, they're trying to think of how can we do something different during the season. And they wrote this statement. This whole effort to change our Advent and Christmas practice is not about anger or disgust or guilt, but it is about entering the story of Jesus more deeply with the desire to worship more fully. It's not enough to say no to the way Christmas is celebrated by many. We need to say yes to a different way of celebrating. So what are you going to do? Just keep on keeping on? I heard that the season has been extended. The shopping season has been extended. Oh my gosh. The days are surely coming. The days are surely coming. We got to practice. We got to participate, folks. Okay. Advent is a sacrament of the presence of God. Are we ready for that? Of course we're not. Of course we're not. But we're going to work on it by practicing incarnation. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to practice the incarnation of the presence of God in and through our lives. Maybe you can't do it for a whole season. Try for an afternoon. Be mindful of the grace of God that undergirds your life. And live into that. Now, I say this because our Advent headlines that you're going to review today, this afternoon, shouldn't have to include words like frenzy or fight or profanity or spitting or stampeding, which I saw in all these articles. It can be very disheartening, not surprising, but disheartening, because I suspect that 3 weeks from tomorrow, just about everyone in all those news stories will be celebrating the birth of Jesus. Celebrating Emmanuel. Friends, business as usual is a bankrupt policy of spirituality. And I don't want to squander another Advent. So this year, I'm going to participate in the sacrament of the presence of God. But I say it every year, but I'm working on it. And I invite you to work on it with me. And then he told a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Therein lies the hope. Therein lies the hope of the season. Thanks be to God. Amen.